Now, some things that they say are free, we know are not free at all. I think about a lot of timeshare places will offer two nights free if you come and listen to us tell you about our timeshare. And, of course, when you sit down with them, what you think might be an hour or two turns into half of your day, and that those couple of free nights were not really free at all because they took up a good portion of your time. I've seen some scams along the way that tell you, we'll send you this for free, whatever the product is, whatever it is, we'll send you this for free for a small shipping and handling fee. And clearly they define small quite differently than I do because it's not really free. And then we have places that do buy one, get one free offers. And even the grocery store will run a buy one, get one free on Frosted Flakes. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But the truth is, it's not really free either. You're getting both of them for 50% off. You're not getting either one of them free because the price on the initial one is high anyway. So I can assure you, they're not losing any money. There's a store in Pigeon Forge that does boots. Buy one pair, get two free. But if you've shopped boots at all, you know that first pair is way overpriced. So really, in the end, the cost, if you average out the three, it comes out to be a pretty decent price. Not a great price, but a pretty decent price. But the thing is, either you got to like three pair and want to spend the price for that one pair to get all three, or you got to have a couple people with you to help make it more reasonable along the way. But there are so many things that people say are free that are not free at all. We eat enough at Shane's and Chick-fil-A that we get free food from time to time in those places with their apps and, you know, getting each visit registered on the app. And you'll get points and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll get some free items along the way. But the truth is, you're really buying those free items along the way as you're buying those other things. Now, hear me. I'm not complaining about any discounts, especially not today. And I will have to say, just about a week and a half ago, I had somebody ask me if I was old enough to get the senior discount. And I said, what's the age? And they said, 55. And I said, you bet I am. So anytime I go back there, I remind them I want the senior discount. I've earned these 55 years, I'm going to get the discount. But seriously, there are few things in life that really are free. There are very few things that don't come with some sort of strings attached. However, I want to share with you this morning about something that really is free. The gift of grace is free. Even though it cost Jesus everything for us to have this, it is a gift for us and it's free. I want to take a look at a text that points out the freedom that we have in Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your amazing grace. And God, I thank you for the freedom that we have in you. I pray right now we'd focus our attention upon you, that God, we would grow an understanding of these freedoms that we have been given. And may we rejoice in them daily and be grateful for all that you have done for us and all that you do for us. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want to examine three conditions that we're free from. The first condition that we're free from that we find in this text is that we are free from sin. Now, in Christ, we've been redeemed through his blood. We were slaves to sin, whether we acknowledged that or not. We didn't have the ability to overcome the effects of sin on our own. Jesus died to pay the price for our sins. He shed his blood to cover our sins. Without that, I couldn't be set free from the bondage of sin. I would still be destined for an eternity in hell. Sin wants to weigh us down. The enemy wants to keep us entangled in sin, but Jesus died to set us free from sin. I can now live free from the burden of sin and work to please God. I can work to do things that bring him glory, that point others to him. There's so many around us that have not been set free, and we have the privilege and the responsibility to tell them. They can be set free, but they must hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they can have him and know him and have forgiveness. Don't expect someone else to do it for you. Don't expect someone else to take the role that God has given you. Not a single one of us come in contact with the same people every day. We come in contact with different people, and God has placed us, if you will, in our own mission field to be witnesses for him. But because we have been set free, we should want to tell others about him. I don't have to live in sin because Jesus redeemed me with his powerful blood. Now, I'm going to find out the age of this congregation right quick on this one. How many of you remember green stamps? Okay, yeah, there are hands all over the room that remember green stamps. Yeah, I remember green stamps. One summer I worked in a Piggly Wiggly in Augusta, and I remember they had the little machine by the register. Whenever, depending on how much you spend, they'd push that amount on that green stamp machine and it'd spit out those green stamps. And you'd take those green stamps and you'd put them in those books, and you'd fill up those books, and depending on how many books you saved, you could take them and redeem them for something in that store. I remember in Augusta, Diane Southgate Shopping Center on Gordon Highway, I can remember there was a green stamp redemption center. We'd go into that store with those books, and depending on how much you saved, you could get certain items in the store. But you know one thing I know about those things that we get at that store? That stuff didn't last forever. I'm pretty sure I don't have anything in my possession that my parents ever got from the green stamp store. When Jesus redeemed us from sin, it's permanent, and it lasts forever. We can count on what he has accomplished for us. He will not go back on the decision that he made in saving us from our sin. My sins have been forgiven according to his riches of grace. Now, why does that matter? His grace is greater than any sin. His grace is able to cleanse me completely from my sin. Not somewhat, but completely from my sin. His grace has made me his son. The riches of the kingdom of heaven are waiting for me. Right now, I don't have unlimited resources. Right now, there are things that I'd like to be able to do that I can't afford to do. Right now, there might be places I'd like to go that I can't afford to go to. But the reality is, one day when I'm in the kingdom of heaven, I'll have unlimited resources because I'm in his presence, because I am a child of God. And the truth is, in heaven, I'm going to have everything I ever didn't even know that I wanted because I'm in his presence. I'll have everything beyond. When I get stressed out by the things of this world, I need to redirect my focus onto the things that I have in Christ because I am redeemed. Folks, when you see war break out around the world, when you feel overwhelmed by a diagnosis you hear from the doctor, when you get caught off guard by that unexpected bill, remind yourself that you are redeemed. Even when life weighs you down, you have a reason to rejoice. This sin-ridden world may beat me down for the rest of my life, but I am redeemed and I have been set free. The truth has indeed set me free. Praise God for the truth. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus Christ, and he paid the price for you. So I'm free from sin. But the second condition that we're free from is that we are free from ignorance. Now hang in here with me. God has richly poured out his grace on us so that we would not have to walk through this life without his wisdom and understanding. The word translated wisdom there in the text has to do with understanding ultimate things in life, like life and death, heaven and hell, God and man. The truth is, for us to come to faith in Christ, God has to draw us to himself. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. No man would come unto the Father unless he draws them to himself. God does that work. We wouldn't pursue him. Left to ourselves, we would continue in sin. Left to ourselves, we would go and live a life of destruction ultimately for eternity. But God has revealed himself to us. He has made known to us that we can have forgiveness through him. He reveals the reality that we are sinners that need to repent of our sin. I didn't pursue him first. He pursued me first, but he set me free from my ignorance of sin, when he helped me realize that I needed a Savior. You know, man has wrestled with questions like, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And so on and so forth. That search can trouble a man his entire life until he comes to the only one that can answer those big questions. Unless a man comes to God, the God of all wisdom, he will never have the wisdom to really understand why he is here. However, when we come to faith in Christ, when we admit our sin and our need for a Savior, we gain wisdom that is beyond us because the wisdom of God is lavished upon us by God. Suddenly, I know why I'm here. Suddenly I know where I came from. And while I may struggle with certain questions in my life, I still know that God made me and he has plans for me that I can only know by pursuing him. Interestingly, the word translated understanding there has to do with practical insight. It has to do with understanding the world we live in and even realizing that other people have needs that we might be able to help with. In some respects, it's common sense in the faith. God wants us to minister to others and to help others in their need, but he doesn't want us to enable people. The same word of God that calls us to care for widows and orphans also tells us if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. So there is a balance. We don't enable people, but we do help people as God gives us opportunity. Now, I'll have to confess, I was never a great student, but I was a pretty good student, especially when I would actually apply myself. I was blessed to have pretty good reading comprehension, and if I had a teacher who tested off of their lectures, I could make a B without much study, because I would pay attention, I would take in what they would say, and I could bring back those things when it came time to a test. But while I'm grateful for that ability, I'm just as grateful, if not more grateful, for the fact that God gave me some common sense and some mechanical ability. If I can see someone do something, there's a good chance that I can do it as well. If I watch them do it, if I pay attention to what they're doing, there's a good chance that I can, if you will, mimic that. I can learn from what. Now, you throw me a curveball in there, that's another story. But if I've seen it before and there's nothing that's changed about it, I can probably repeat that. But one thing in common sense that God has helped me with is that sagely wisdom that came from Clint Eastwood. A man's got to know his limitations. I have figured out there are some things I can't do, and I have to ask somebody else to do. I have to ask for help there beyond my skill set. God has richly poured out his wisdom and understanding upon us so that we can apply it and use it in our walk with him. Wisdom compels us to be grateful for his blessings, and understanding helps us to know that we need to be in his word, and we need to be a blessing to others. Wisdom reminds us that God brings joy, but understanding causes us to stop and reflect long enough to be reminded of that joy. God goes well beyond that because he made known to us the mystery of his will. The mystery is to know Christ as our Savior and to seek to give him glory in all that we do. Christ was the fulfillment of what the prophets had prophesied. Before he came, it was a mystery as to when he would come and what he would be like. When Christ came, it was the fulfillment of the promises that had been made. Now they could see the visible image of God in Christ. God with us, Emmanuel, had come. And because of that, we could better know the Father. In John 10:30, Jesus reminds us that he and the Father are one. If we've known the Son, we have known the Father. The mystery of our salvation was revealed in Christ, and now we know we have forgiveness through him, and heaven is awaiting us. Are you living like you've been richly blessed by the wisdom of God? Are you living like someone that's been forgiven of all your sins? You're no longer in bondage to sin. You're no longer ignorant of the reality that sin has no hold on your life. Let God strengthen you and empower you to overcome sin in your life and the enemy that tries to beat you down. You already have victory. I've said it before, and it wasn't original to me, but we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We have victory in Christ. No matter what the enemy throws at you, God is bigger. He can handle it. He is stronger. He is smarter. You have all the resources of heaven to face and to fight anything that would come your way. The question is, are you going to pursue the one true source for wisdom? And it's not you, and it's not me. It's him, it's God, and we find his wisdom in his word. One of the biggest sections in the bookstore back when they actually had bookstores, y'all remember back when there's still a few around, but not like it used to be. And you remember if you go into the bookstore, one of the biggest sections in the bookstore was the self-help section. Now let that wash over you for just a second. Self-help, our biggest problem is ourselves. And you go to the self-help section to help yourself, you are the biggest problem you have. What makes me better is not by me creating better habits, having better disciplines. And I'm not knocking those things. Those things can be good things. But ultimately, what makes me better is not me making me better. It's God changing me. It's Him in me. It's Him making me righteous. You see, I can be a better person in a sense from a humanistic viewpoint, but I can't be more righteous without God in my life. I can't be genuinely good, and I certainly can't be eternally good without God doing a work in my heart, without God changing my heart. I need God's wisdom. And thankfully, He doesn't go, okay, here's a little morsel of it. He opens it all up to us. But it's up to us to take it in. It's up to us to receive it from Him. He wants us to know more of Him, but we must be willing to spend time with Him. So we can see that we're free from sin, and we can see that we're free from ignorance. But thirdly, the third condition I want you to see that we're free from is that we are free from hopelessness. In a day and age in which we live, when there are so many things to feel hopeless about, you and I, as followers of Christ, are never hopeless. We have hope in Christ. With all that's going on in the world today, it's easy to drift off into despair. Even in light of the glory and majesty of God, we could question why God would even consider us, why He would even take us into account. The psalmist was struck by this in Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established a stronghold on account of your adversaries in order to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him, a son of man that you look after him? When we stop and consider all around us that God has created, it is hard to wrap our brain around the fact that He would care about us. And care about us to the degree that He cares about us. The Word of God says He knows every hair on our head, even though they may be getting fewer. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He still wants to have a relationship with us. He knows your best. He knows your worst. And He still wants a relationship with you. He knows your fears. He knows your courage. And He still wants a relationship with you. This is a wonderful God we serve. Standing in His presence can be very overwhelming, and we can feel pretty small. And the reality is, in His presence, we should feel small. But we should also feel comfort knowing that He is there, that His power, His strength is walking alongside of us, is carrying us as we need to be carried. He is there for us. God created everything in this world that was ever created. He created it for us, and He sent His Son to die in our place. But I want you to look at the second half of verse 9 and all of verse 10 in Ephesians 1. According to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. Folks, when we think things are hopeless and we're feeling despair because we see Russia invade the Ukraine, or we see politicians make really poor decisions, or we see all the moral decay that is around us, we need to remember that God is still on the throne and He still has a plan. I cannot say it enough for you. God doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't have to. He's God. It is all plan A for God. It is all playing out just exactly the way God knew it would play out, and He is before and He is in and He is ahead. We can count on God to be there with us. Therefore, we can be confident in the fact that He will come again, just as He promised He will. Jesus is coming back again, and things will be made right both in heaven and on earth. In our humanness, we fret and we worry over the waves of the turbulent water that we see around us, but we need never forget that God is still in control. He is still working all things together for our good. More than that, we need to remember that God has numbered our days, and there will come a time when the number of our days is complete. Now, I realize sometimes when we talk about something like that, people go, well, that's kind of morbid to think about. I don't want to think about the fact that, you know, I don't want to think my days are numbered. That ought to really bring us comfort as Christians, Because here's the reality. Nobody, and I do mean nobody, can shorten my days from what God says they're going to be. But the other side of that coin is just as true. Nobody can add to my days from what God says those days are going to be. The comforting part of that to me is I'm going to be here as long as God wants me here. And I'm going to try to use whatever he has given to me in time, whatever he's given to me in ability, whatever he's given to me in resources. I want to try to use those things for his glory in the time that he has given me here on this earth. But the wonderful thing that comforts me, that gives me hope no matter what, is I know that when this body quits, that ain't it. I'm not done. This tent that I occupy, it'll be done. But I live forever because of what Christ did for me. Now, let me actually correct myself on that. We all live forever, but I'm going to spend my eternity in heaven. And I call that living. Hell for eternity ain't living. But it will be real. And it is real. We have eternal life because of what Christ accomplished for us. We can spend our eternity with him. Christ has already claimed the victory over death and the grave. In John 14, he's made it clear that he is going to prepare a place for us. We don't have to worry about our eternity. And even more so, we can look forward to eternity. I don't stress over what might happen to this body. Believe me, I would rather leave this earth through the rapture than to experience death. But all that's in God's hands. Why walk around worried about that every day, realizing my life is in his hands? It belongs to him. It's his timing. I don't have to feel hopeless. I want to be a little transparent with you right now. In the process of selling our house and going through it, all of that's involved with that, you know, trying to keep your house clean and all those kinds of things and wondering, you know, when is it going to sell and when is it going to be the right price and all those kinds of things. You know, there were moments of frustration, moments of distress along the midst of that, and you're thinking, my word, what have we done? And I have to say, even in saying that out loud, it's pretty trivial in light of what a lot of people are going through. Really, really trivial. But storing stuff and doing all those kinds of things and then living in a rental for 3 months without being able to sleep in my own bed or to sit on my own furniture, those things were frustrating. And again, sounds very whiny to say it out loud. But now that we moved and we have our home and we love so much about it, but there's still some things that are trying. Our water is not great. It discolors, it smells of metal, so we've got some things to address there. And there's clay everywhere around us, you know, and we're trying to do things about that. There have been moments looking at all of this and feeling overwhelmed by it all. But I have to say to you, in the midst of that, when I could stop the pity party for a moment and step back and look to God, I'm reminded of the fact that I have every reason to have hope. I have every reason not to let the things around me worry me. When I'm whining and I'm complaining about hardships, I've come to understand that everything in this life is momentary and light, knowing what awaits us in glory. You know, Paul had been through so much more for the faith than I have. And Paul could look at those things and say, all this affliction is momentary and light. If he can do that, then I can look at what I've been through in my life and say it's momentary and light. No matter how chaotic things may get in this world, no matter how ridiculously weak the leadership in Washington, D.C. may be, we serve a great and mighty God, and we can know that our future is in his hands. Don't let this world overwhelm you, because we've been set free from hopelessness. Christ has claimed the victory, and the victory belongs to our Lord. We are joint heirs with Christ. Therefore, we win. If you're not familiar with the victory that I'm talking about right now, I want to tell you, you'll not know that victory until you admit you're a sinner and ask his forgiveness and invite Christ into your life. But if you'll do that, you'll experience a victory you've never known in your life. You'll experience a freedom you've not known in your life, because right now, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether or not you realize it or not, you are in bondage to sin. And if you hold on to that, if you don't place your faith in Christ, you will spend your eternity paying the price for that sin. The good news is Jesus already accomplished that. Jesus already paid the price for your sin. He shed his blood so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life. But you must be willing to admit your sin and ask his forgiveness and invite him into your life. Don't let another moment go by. Christian, are you living like you've been set free? Or are you living like you're free from sin? I hope you know you're free from ignorance. You're no longer walking around blind to sin. You're no longer walking around blind to the things of God because you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have God within you. The very fact that you feel conviction when you're sin is a reminder of the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Rely on his wisdom and his strength. And by all means, when you see all these things happening in the world around us, never lose hope because our hope is in him. It's not in us. It's not in the things of this world. It's not in medical science. It's not in money. Our hope is in him, period. We can trust our lives to him. Christian, whatever the burden, whatever the concern, lay it at his feet and trust it to him. There may be some here this morning and you're burdened, you're hurting for someone that you know who doesn't have this freedom, who doesn't know what it means to be forgiven. They're still living, walking this earth lost. Maybe you just need to come and pray for them today. Maybe if you're not comfortable coming down front, maybe you pray from your pew, but lift up those that you know that don't know Christ. Eternity's a real thing, and there will not be any second chances. What you do with Christ in this life will determine how you spend your eternity. Make sure you're praying for those that you know that don't know Christ. But whatever the concern, whatever the burden right now, let's let God have his way during this invitation. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege of being able to study your word, and we thank you for the freedom that we have in you, God. I thank you that we're not in bondage to sin any longer. I thank you that we're not ignorant to the effects of sin any longer, and we can have your wisdom and understanding in our lives. God, I thank you that we are not hopeless. That, Lord, even when we lose a loved one, we do not grieve as those who have no hope because we have hope in you. God, help us to live in that hope, to live in that joy. Whatever the need is during this invitation, God, for anyone who doesn't know you, I pray right now they trust in you as Savior. For others, Lord, I pray we'd give those burdens and concerns to you and allow you to do your work in our lives. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.